One of the most alluring, tempting, and dangerous things we are called to harness in life are our desires. Desire is an incredibly strong motivator. It can push us beyond our assumed limitations, striving to reach the goal to satisfy our needs. Desire has been one of the leading causes of progress in our world, lighting a fire under us, propelling us forward. Desire helps us achieve our hopes and dreams, but this gift also comes with a shadow side. Desire can be dangerous. So many of the world's greatest evils have been perpetrated as a result of devious desire. Desire for power, for wealth, for supremacy have led to the pain, suffering, misery, and death of untold numbers of people. This is the constant struggle of humanity. How do we harness our desires for good? How do we train ourselves to have desires that bring about life and liberation instead of death and destruction? From John's Gospel this morning, we get a glimpse of desire and hear a story that invites us to contemplate what our hearts and souls long for. While in Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover, some Greeks, and by Greeks here, we don't necessarily mean people from Greece. Really, John's talking about Gentiles. We hear some Gentiles, some Greeks, approach Philip and say, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Now, John does not give us any details about those who approached Philip. We don't know how many there were. We don't know their intent. We don't know what they're up to. But while we do not know why they approach, we do know this. They do not ask if Jesus is around. They don't inquire if he's available for a chat and a cup of coffee. They simply express their desire. Now, the lack of details in this story is a gift to us, as the openness creates space for us to wonder and explore. Void of detail, we can look at these Greeks without judgment and ask the question, what is it that we desire? We can ask, what do we wish to see? This, my friends, is what Lent is all about. This is a season where we are invited to honest reflection on where we are in this moment, naming truthfully the realities of our lives, discerning if this is the course we wish to stay on. Lent, through those practices named for us on Ash Wednesday, practices of self-examination, repentance, prayer, fasting, self-denial, reading, and meditating on God's holy word. If these practices allow us to see where we are now, imagine where we wish to be, and recalibrate our course so that we can get there. Lent is about that Greek word metanoia, about turning around and reorienting our minds and desires to align with the desires of God. Please hear me when I say this is not a season to dread. I don't know if you remember, but back all the way back on the first Sunday in Lent, I asked you what words come to mind when you think about Lent, and someone at this liturgy just went, "Ugh." And let's be honest, several of you agreed. I saw a lot of head nodding along. But I hope as we move through this season, as we think and reflect on this time, we can step away from that sense of dread. Because this is not about enumerating our failures in some sort of 40-day self-deprecating marathon. This is not about seeing how many strikes we have against us and preparing ourselves for divine retribution, divine punishment that is about to be handed out. This is about seeking opportunities to live deeper into the covenants we have made with God. Over these last few weeks, we have seen Jesus teach and heal. We've seen him get angry and call people to account. We have been and will continue to witness him walk that long road into Jerusalem that leads directly to the cross. We have an abundance of images of Jesus at our disposal, and therefore it is worthwhile for us to ask if we were the ones to approach Philip expressing our desire to see Jesus, what exactly is it that we would wish to see? Do we wish to see Jesus as healer or Jesus as teacher and preacher? Do we wish to see Jesus as troublemaker? Do we wish to see him as the great flipper of tables in the temple? Do we wish to journey back to the manger to see that sweet, tiny babe wrapped in bands of cloth? Do we wish to journey to the mountainside and be in the crowd for that Sermon on the Mount, hearing Jesus proclaim, "Blessed are the meek"? I wonder if anyone here wishes to meet Jesus in the intimacy of Maundy Thursday, desiring to see Jesus as the one who invites us into incredible vulnerability with God and our neighbors, meeting Jesus in acts of humble, loving service, allowing him through the vessel of our fellow congregants to wash our feet, and in turn to be that vessel of grace for someone else. And if that is not your desire, how about seeing Jesus at Calvary, hanging on the cross, demonstrating the extreme depths of love God has for all of humanity? Here on the cusp of Holy Week, we are invited to open our eyes and see Jesus for who he truly is, our joyous, welcoming, loving, teaching, healing, exorcising, demanding, sacrificing, liberating, fully human and fully divine Son of God, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Messiah. Our faith journey requires honesty from us. Honest answers to questions like, do we wish to see Jesus? And are we ready to see him for who he truly is? Now, if that is not our desire just yet, if we're not in that place, we need not be ashamed. I don't know how many of you know the show Lucifer, but you're not being set up in a trap of those devilish, handsome eyes staring at you, asking your desire to get you to confess whatever crime you've committed. This is about a genuine taking stock, seeing where we are. So do not be afraid if you're not there yet. For God meets us where we are, ready and waiting for whatever step we need to take next. So what is it that you desire? Who do you wish to see? What steps need to be taken individually and collectively? What ways are we in need of transformation and reorientation so that we too can say we wish to see Jesus and see him as he is, not as we wish for him to be? Now, John the Evangelist does not stop today at desire. Jesus responds to the news from Andrew and Philip by telling them what everyone is about to see: his death. For once more, Jesus teaches his disciples about what his mission is all about. Together, they have been watching, waiting, and journeying. And the culminating hour of that sojourn has arrived. On the heels of his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, Jesus tells a jarring proverb about grains of wheat. These grains must, in a sense, die to what they are so that they might be transformed. Unless the grain of wheat falls, it will remain alone and fruitless, but if it falls, new life emerges. So it is for humanity, Jesus says. We must die, so that we too might be transformed. We must let go of our lives as we have known them, letting go of any selfish ambition that puts ourselves above all else, letting go of old ways of being in the world so that we might discover what it truly means to live. My friends, this is about baptismal life, dying to old ways, emerging out of those abundant waters, taking on new life, that we might discover who we are called to be. There is a reason why in the earliest days of the church, this was the season of preparation for baptism, culminating at the Easter Vigil, the baptismal day. And we too, in our time, while far removed from those early days in Jerusalem, get to experience this, reminded of our own baptism, thinking about baptismal life. In just 2 weeks from yesterday, three new people will be baptized in this font, ushered into the household of God. This is not only about our baptismal life, But this is exactly what Jesus does throughout the entirety of his ministry, with, of course, that ultimate example about to unfold before us as Jesus is lifted up on the cross. God has come to judge the world, to shine a light on the realities we do not see, and maybe most especially those we wish we didn't have to see. But just like we don't have to be afraid of admitting our desires, we do not have to be afraid of the judgment of God. For this judgment is rooted in love. It is judgment that seeks not to destroy, but to heal, to strip away all that is life-destroying, so that which is life-giving might reign. This is judgment that comes with outstretched arms, that draws us deeper into relationship with God, deeper into the heart of love. Beloved, what is it that you desire? What is it that you wish to see? As we continue in these final days before Holy Week, I want to invite us to think about these questions as guideposts for our discernment of what comes next. Do we wish to see Jesus seeking God's presence, guidance, and companionship along the way? Do we desire something from Jesus? Peace, security, safety, health, immunity, ease, comfort, seeking transaction over relationship? Do we seek confrontation with God, looking for the opportunity to let out all of our frustration and anger, to express our unrestrained lament, to give voice to our disappointment, sorrow, and grief for the ways Jesus is not who we want him to be? Are we bewildered by the question of these Greek seekers, having shelved our spiritual lives, allowing our faith to recede in the recesses of our mind, letting the flames of desire for God be extinguished? What greens of our lives, individually as a community and collectively, do we need to let fall to the ground so that something new might emerge? As we journey together in these days ahead, let us turn over our answers to God, trusting that no matter where we are on our journey of faith, no matter our answers to these questions, God draws us to God's self, that Jesus lifts us to himself as he is lifted up for the world. Amen.